The Business Hour on OFM.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you if you feel like a lot of the, I call it misinformation, is attributed to how media reports on company performances and on the bonuses of executives in any way.
It is. I mean, one of the issues is where, for instance, as I said, the Gini coefficient, you know, South Africa's Gini coefficient is the worst in the world, and therefore we need to reduce the pay gap. Well, you know, as I said, that's not correct, because you can reduce the pay gap amongst the employed, but it's going to have nothing to do with the unemployed. The second one is around terminology, where, for instance, media will report on excessive executive pay without really no definition of what excessive means. What is excessive? I mean, you know, excessive in South African rands for an executive who is running a company with operations in many different parts of the world might be seen as actually very poor pay compared to another executive, you know, based in London or, you know, the USA or Australia, doing the same sort of job. And yes, there is a cost of a living difference as well. But at the end of the day, we want to retain the best executives in South Africa to make sure that our companies are successful. I don't think there's any shareholder who would rather pay less to an average executive that sort of manages just to kind of keep the company trundling along compared to paying more to a top-class executive who drives successful growth in the business. And I'm not saying for 1 minute that it's only the executive that do that or the CEO. Absolutely not. It's the whole organization. But the fish rots, you know, from the head downwards, and the company also thrives if you've got the right person at the top of the organization.
Yeah.
And that's really what we want. You know, we've got a lot of examples in South Africa of companies that have needed bailouts, massive bailouts. And, you know, even though those executives were fairly handsomely rewarded, you know, they weren't necessarily the right people for the job. So to my mind, I think most shareholders would rather pay more for a top-class executive than an average amount curtailed by legislation and have, you know, an average performing company.
Thank you so much, Lawrence, for your time. I don't want to keep you any further. I was wondering, there's a lot of suggestion around, you know, systems in which employees are able to become shareholders or buy into the company or get given. Is that something that can maybe change a lot of the narrative that we're seeing? I think you see it a lot in the mining sector, where there's always an uproar about executive pay.
Yeah. I think share incentive schemes for employees can make a lot of a difference and can be a very good thing. The one thing, two things there, they need to be designed properly so that there is a real benefit to the participants all the way down the organization. And two is the communication needs to be really good to make sure, and training and understanding, so that everyone understands exactly what it means to have a share in the company. And then just one final thing there is that sometimes, you know, employees are in a situation where they're desperate for cash and a share is not really what they want because it's something that they're only going to get the benefit of in a while, or they just get dividends. So one needs to think carefully through these things and make sure that your employees are not in the situation where they really desperate for cash to pay for their bread, to pay for their children's education or whatever it is. And now you're giving them a share, which, you know, is not going to help them.
Well, thank you so much. Any closing remarks as we wrap up? Quite interesting take. We did touch on it briefly, I think about two weeks ago, and this was quite an interesting take on it.
I think one of the things is the government still needs to now publish the implementation dates. And I think there's going to be a phased implementation depending upon what part of the changes to the Act it is. And also some of those changes require regulations to be published, which would, I think, and hopefully improve what's written there, because it's been very difficult. We've had a team of top remuneration people working on this thing for about, you know, 1 hour a week over the last, 10, 12 weeks, even longer, trying to unpack and interpret what's meant by this Act. So regulations to be, would be, you know, published by the government would help a lot.
Thank you so much, Lawrence. It's such a pleasure having you on. He's the Master Reward Specialist and ex-co member at the South African Reward Association.
The Business Hour with Oliver Feng on OFM.